From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. And it's time for our reporter roundtable, where we talk about the stories that are making headlines across the 21st state. Today, we're focusing on the communities of Peoria and Champaign-Urbana. And joining us now to talk through these stories is Cameron Cutinella, reporter for WCBU, Peoria Public Radio. Cameron, welcome back to The 21st Show.
Thanks, Brian.
Also with us, Emily Hayes, education reporter for our home station, WILL, Illinois Public Media. Emily, welcome back to you as well.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, Cameron, I'm going to begin with you. And we've talked about on this program a number of times in the past year, the Farm Bill. It has officially expired again. You've been looking into what this could mean specifically for Illinois farmers. What did you find?
Yeah, so the Farm Bill expired at the end of September, and the Farm Bill is really there to provide kind of a safety net for farmers. So some of the programs included in the bill, like crop insurance and the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, also known as SNAP, won't expire until the end of December. So there is kind of a little bit of time there. But some programs ended immediately. That included research programs on things like biofuel and some funding that helps farmers access foreign markets. You know, obviously, farmers really would like to see these programs restored. They would like to see crop insurance and SNAP, you know, saved and extended. But there's kind of a stall in Congress right now. They're kind of Democrats and Republicans are clashing over some additional SNAP funding. Republicans had removed the funding from the bill, and Democrats are saying that they will not vote for a measure that does not include those extra funding.
All right, Emily, let me move on to you, and let's move on to some education-based stories. The University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign was recently subjected to a strike by food and building service workers. They are part of the Service Employees International Union, SEIU, Local 73. What were some of the union's demands?
Well, they were really just striking over wages. They said that they are doing double the work with the University of Illinois' largest ever freshman class, and they say their wages are not enough, you know, even to keep up with inflation in general. The university, on the other hand, said that their requests were beyond the market and what was competitive. In the end, they went on strike for 8 days in their first walkout in 11 years. It was over cents, really, in the end. The new contract will last 3 years. Hourly wages will go up by $1 the first year, 90 cents the next, and 85 cents the last year. That's really, those later numbers, the 90 cents and 85 cents, are really not that much more than what they voted down before they went on strike.
What were some of the effects of this strike? I noticed in our building at Illinois Public Media, the trash wasn't taken out. That's not the end of the world. I gather it was a little more significant if you have to eat in the dormitories, for example.
Yeah, students said that lines were longer and food options were more limited. A lot of the hot food stations at kind of the more store options on campus were closed. But students that I talked to often said that they support the strike. I found maybe one person who wasn't supportive of the strike. One student explained it as, you know, some of these people in the dining halls are definitely more personable than other people higher up whose wages they pay and will probably never see.
And last question about this. I mean, would you say, or did you get the sense that are union members rank and file happy with the outcome of this strike and they're back to work now? And
they are back deal? To work. Yeah. I think people generally, you know, the president of the union told me this is the best they think they're going to get. They worked really hard. You know, we got regular updates. And so we got to see, oh, the university offered them less than the contract they already voted down and that sort of thing. So I think it was a frustrating process for them.
Fascinating. All right, sticking with higher education, Cameron, back to you. Bradley University recently announced its enrollment numbers and it's searching for a new president. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so preliminary numbers show that total enrollment is down to 4,800, which is the first time it's been below 5,000 in more than 30 years. That's also a decrease from last year when they had about 5,200 students enrolled. In that, first year enrollment was actually relatively stable, only down 2.5%. But Bradley's in kind of a tumultuous period here. President Stephen Sanford resigned in May after announcing in July of 2023 that there would be a $13 million budget shortfall which led to some cuts. Bradley cut 61 positions and began phasing out 15 programs, which led to the Bradley University Senate passing a resolution of no confidence. So Board of Trustees Chair Jonathan Michael is currently serving as interim president, and he told me that they're really starting this search now. They formed a committee to select the next president, and they're planning to hold forums with alumni and community to get input on what people really would like to see the next president of Bradley accomplish. So they're hoping to have a new president in place by the beginning of the next school year.
How is Bradley doing, would you say, like overall, right? Different colleges have done better in this modern environment. Some have struggled. We've even seen some smaller private colleges folding in recent years. And I'm not saying Bradley's in that position, but how is it doing overall?
Yeah, I think that budget shortfall is really, it's leading to some struggles. There was a lot of pushback from the cut positions and cut programs. Students held a protest in the quad last year to really kind of fight for the professor that they wanted to stay. So again, a tumultuous period, and we're seeing that reflected in the enrollment numbers.
One more higher education story, and Emily, back to you for that. There was a lot of talk about how the U.S. Supreme Court's decision a while back ending affirmative action in higher education might affect enrollment. You've been looking into what that has meant specifically for graduate programs at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. What did you find?
So, despite the end of affirmative action, diversity has slightly increased in the graduate programs at the University of Illinois. Hispanic enrollment is up 25% in the graduate programs, that's in new students, while African American new enrollment is up 13%. I talked to the dean of the graduate college, Wojtek Hodgko-Zyko. He said he puts this the explanation at inclusive and holistic admissions they've been doing for a while. He said they doubled down on that by giving advice to departments. Still, it's not that much when you look at the overall percentages in the, even with the increase, fewer than 7% of graduate students overall are Hispanic and about 5% are Black, and that includes in multiracial students.
So smaller overall. I wonder if it is it broke. Is it too detailed to know how it breaks down by different colleges and things like that, or different programs, or is this just more of an aggregate look?
You can, it's a, you can actually look at specific colleges, I believe. I did see a chart from 2022 that showed some departments had like 50% underrepresented students and some departments had 0%. So there's definitely a range, at least historically.
All right, let me remind listeners, this is the 21st show. I am Brian Mackey, and we are beginning this Friday, as we do most Fridays, with our reporter roundtable talking about stories making headlines from around the 21st state. This week, we're focusing on Champaign-Urbana with Emily Hayes, education reporter at our home station, WILL, Illinois Public Media, and Peoria, where Cameron Cutinello is a reporter at WCBU, Peoria Public Radio. Emily, I'm going to stick with you. In light of the past year of the ongoing conflict in Israel and Gaza and now Lebanon, Israelis and Palestinians held protests and vigils this week. What can you tell us about that?
So our reporter May Antar went to the University of Illinois Quad on Monday. There were memorial events for both Palestinians and for Israeli people who have died in the war. Hillel and Chabad held a celebration, held a memorial on Monday for the over 1,000 people killed in Israel on that Hamas October 7th attack. She said it's like a second Holocaust. This is a day they'll always remember. Meanwhile, there was a healing circle for the over 40,000 Palestinians who've died. And the therapist who led that circle said they have this feeling of it being unjust and they're powerless and they're all trying to hold on to hope. And there have been other events in the community over the previous weekend as well.
Still no sort of like encampments like we saw in the spring, though, that level of sort of
That's right.
protest. Yeah.
Yeah, I was expecting more encampments, but that hasn't happened so far.
Well, I will point listeners, if I can take this moment for self-promotion. On Monday, we spoke with two Israeli University of Illinois students about their experience in the past year, if people want to check that out. And then this coming Monday next week, we're going to bring you a conversation with Palestinian Illinoisans about their experiences in the past year. Cameron Cutinello, back to you. So I want to talk about a couple of new buildings that are growing up in or going up in Peoria. There's a new apartment building downtown. It's designed specifically for young adults who are homeless. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, so they just opened. It's a 16-unit building in downtown Peoria, specifically for people aged 18 to 24. It was built by Phoenix Community Development Services here to really help young adults get on their feet. This could be, you know, young adults who age out of the DCFS system or LGBTQ youth that are kicked out by their parents and people with disabling health conditions. So it's in a downtown location, which President Christine Call says is really great for getting access to transportation and then hopefully also employment opportunities. Peoria Mayor Rita Ali said this is part of a larger plan to attract more affordable housing options to the city and also trying to just attract more people to the downtown area.
That's interesting. Has homeless, I mean, how has the city sort of situation with homelessness or unhoused people, if you will, how has that been overall, would you say?
Yeah, so there are a couple of different shelters. The city's really trying to help get homeless people off the streets, into shelters, into care. There are some discussions now with the Supreme Court decision to outlaw homelessness on whether or not Peoria wants to pursue a measure such as that. So far, there hasn't been much movement there, but the city's really trying to get people into shelters.
Yeah, tent encampments and things. We've seen that in a number of cities around the state. Interesting. All right. Cameron, there was also a groundbreaking for a new office building meant to be sustainable. What's the story with that?
Yeah, so Komatsu in Peoria is they're tearing down one of their old office buildings and they are replacing it with a brand new one that is meant to be environmentally friendly. So it's specifically designed to be solar powered and to conserve water. It'll be a $30 million project that they're hoping to have open by the end of 2025. And it's the building that hosts a lot of their engineers. So the people that are designing the trucks that then get sold across the world.
All right, and Emily, coming back to you, the University of Illinois Football Stadium. It's better known as Memorial Stadium. It's celebrating a milestone anniversary. What is the story there?
So it's been 100 years since Memorial Stadium was first dedicated. That dedication game happened against Michigan on October 18th, 1924. They are planning to play against Michigan again on Saturday, October 19th, 100 years and a day since that game. If you're wondering, which I was, what the memorial is for. The memorial is for University of Illinois students who died in World War I. It was built in 1923. There were about $2 million in donations from 200,000 plus people to build that stadium.
Yeah, and if you ever get a chance, anyone who's listening, to go to the stadium and wander among the pillars on the upper level there, each one is inscribed with the name of one of those students who died in that war. Quite a sight to behold. All right, Emily Hayes, thank you so much for being with us today on the 21st Show. Cameron Cutinello from WCBU, Peoria Public Radio, thank you to you as well.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I want to mention a few things we are working on for next week. I did mention the conversation coming up on Palestinians, Illinoisans, about their experience of the past year, coping with tragedy, fighting to be heard, seeking hope for the future. We're planning to bring you that conversation on Monday. We're also going to be hearing from public radio luminaries next week. Jeremy Hobson is scheduled to join us live on Wednesday. He is, of course, is the host of The Middle. He got his start in radio in Urbana at our home station, Illinois Public Media. We're also scheduled to bring you a conversation with NPR's Scott Simon, who is doing a special event for our home station, Illinois Public Media, this weekend. I'm going to be talking to him on stage in front of some of our station supporters there, and we will talk about his life, which began in Chicago. He was born and raised there, and he does still feel that special connection with the city, as you can sometimes hear when he talks about it on the show on Weekend Edition Saturday. So that's all coming up next week. We love hearing from you about what we have been talking about. You can email us. The address is talk@21stshow.org. That's talk@21stshow.org. You can find that as well as our podcast links and every other way to connect with us. It's all on our website, 21stshow.org. You can also now find the 21st Show on YouTube. That is, just search for Illinois Public Media. Again, we are on YouTube. You can go there, search for Illinois Public Media, and you will find us sprinkled in there. Just audio with an image. No full video yet for us, but it is another way to find the show if you are interested, especially with sharing it with other people. All right, we are going to take a break. We will move to politics and the trial of former House Speaker Michael Madigan. Will have an update from a reporter who has been in the courthouse all week as jury selection has been underway for that trial. This is the 21st Show. Stay with us.